If you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Actually, turn to Matthew first, Matthew chapter 5. And as of late, we've been talking some tough things, man. We've had some tough messages. And tonight I felt like, as I was praying about what to do, because I historically like to do series, so I said, Lord, what can I do ramping up to Tom Scarella coming here? And so I felt the Lord really asked me to go back to some of the basics that we sometimes forget, but we can get excited about. How many know that the living God, we sang about it tonight. I didn't really talk to Brad, but some of the songs fit right in with what I have to share tonight. And it's the power and the authority of the Lord rests with us. Turn to somebody and say, you have the power and the authority. I've been thinking a lot about this today, and I got excited. I don't dance very well, but I started to dance when I thought about it because, you know, power without authority is dangerous. Authority without power is suicidal. Are you there? Power without authority is dangerous. Authority without power is suicidal. But we have both. We have the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ residing in us. Not only does it reside in us, but He resides in us by the power of His Spirit. So He gives us power and authority to speak in His name and to act on that. Speak it and then act on it. And so I want to talk about that tonight. And I wanted to start with some you are's. If you're taking notes tonight, some you are's. Y-O-U-A-R-E, you are's. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, if you're there. Matthew 5, 13. You are the salt of the earth. Now, how many know that salt was used as a preservative in biblical times? So if you think about what that statement means, you and I are here to preserve our generation. The reason why things haven't fallen apart yet is because we're here. We're here, and God resides in us. Don't let anybody get too excited right now. This is an exciting thing because sometimes we get so torn up about the times we live in and the coming atrocities that will happen and the falling apart. Those things are supposed to happen. But at the same time, the rising of the church, the decorating of the bride becoming strong, the bride exuding the power of our groom, our husband, the Lord, we begin to speak with power and authority, things have to change. Not they might change, we hope they'll change, but they have to change. And the reason is we have the power and the authority. So we don't get in trouble either way. Did I say something wrong? Is the oxygen out of the room or something? I mean, amens and hallelujahs ought to be all over the place right now because we have all that it takes to overcome. And if enough of us exude that kind of power, we begin to change atmospheres. We begin to change areas. That's the power of God working in us. Because when I read my Bible, God is not going to do anything outside of us. He's going to work through us. We're not all the, you know, it'd be nice to wake up in the morning and just have a sovereign move of God and have everybody saved. I don't think it's going to quite happen like that. We get to involve ourselves. Otherwise, God's wasting all of His power and authority on people that will never be used, just kind of looking. No, we don't do that. We have the power and authority. And He goes on in verse 14 and say, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Glory. Now, I don't know how you would shine your light other than to turn the switch on. Come on, somebody. We can't hide it. We've got to turn the switch on. John 15, 5. So, you are the salt, you are the light. John 15, 5 says, Jesus talking in the first person, of course, He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. How many know that we are in the fruit-bearing time? This is a reaping time for the church. We've done all the trimming. We've done all the pruning. Now is the reaping time for the real church, for the remnant. The remnant is growing and God is activating us to a place of great fruit bearing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Now, if you stop for a moment and say, the God of the universe, the one who created everything, resides in me, that's powerful.
Yes. Amen.
It's simple. We sometimes pass it over. That's elementary. Come on, Rick, I learned that when I was first saved. God came to live in my heart. Jesus come and live in my heart. Think about that. Think about that tonight, that the God of the universe lives in us. He lives in you. He just doesn't live in us as a group. We don't need, we need each other. We're members one of another. But God lives in you.
Amen.
As I was praying this morning, I said, God, thank you for all you've done for me. And he said, I'm living in you. What are you going to do things for me? See, God wants to use us. Use our hands, use our feet, use our mouths, use our talents. He wants to use us. You are the temple of the living God. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So God has a body and it's you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man. So how does God activate us to a place where we begin to believe once again that he's going to use us because he's given us power and authority and he can't do what needs to be done on this earth without us. Let me rephrase that. He could do it without us, but he's not going to. Because he gave us authority. He gave earth to the sons of men and heaven belongs to him. Earth is ours. It's our responsibility. That's what we'll be judged by on judgment day. What did you do with what I gave you? Authority and power. Now turn to Galatians 3. I'll wait for you. Turn to Galatians 3, verse 26. Probably the most telling of the you are's. The you are's. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So what, one of the most significant things about this verse is that we are sons of God. We are baptized into Christ. Not only Christ is in us, but we have put on Christ. Have you ever thought about that? So if we put on Christ, what's the enemy see when he sees me? He sees Christ. What do I see when I see me? No. A lot of times we don't because we see ourselves. We need to look in the mirror and get a clear picture of Christ in us, the hope of glory. But we've put on Christ. There's the power. Come on, there's the power. And when we speak, we have the authority. Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it, that my Father might be glorified.
Amen.
You are sons of God. You are the temple of God. You are the vine, you are the branches, you are a light, you are a salt. But the most important thing is that we're sons of the living God. Now I'll turn to Colossians 2. Keep in mind what he said. You are all sons of God through faith and we've put on Christ. Oh, come on, church. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. Watch what it says. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power.
Glory.
And a couple of things that says to me, complete means when God says complete, that means it's complete. How many don't feel so complete sometimes? But you are. You're complete in Him. You're complete in Christ Jesus. Woo-hoo! Wow. Now that raises the authority that I have. If I have the power, that's one thing. The power is resident in me because Christ lives in me. I have the authority because I put on Christ. Now I'm complete in Him. That raises that bar, that authority that when I speak, things happen. The devil has to listen. He has to get his hands off me, physically, mentally, spiritually. He has to. Why? Because there's the one that I'm complete in is the head of all. What's the scripture say? Tell me, what's the scripture say we just read? The head of all.
The head of all principality and power.
The head of all principality and power. Now that means principality and power in heaven. That means principality and power in hell. He's the head of all principality and He lives us and we are complete in Him. How much higher can you get? There's no place to go. There's no promotion that we're looking for. Man, somebody dance. Somebody do something. Am I talking? What am I talking to Presbyterians or is this Pentecostals or what, y'all? Man, that's exciting stuff. Danny, that's exciting stuff. The resident power within us. Man. Man. And 1 Peter 2:9 to close the URs. The URs. 1 Peter 2:9, very familiar part of Scripture. We like to quote it a lot. But I wonder if we realize what it says. Because this is empowering. God's intent is to empower us and to remind us who we are. Because we keep forgetting who we are in Him. Because the world keeps telling us we're something else. And we're programmed all the time to think that we're less than or we need another touch or we need something else. The Bible says we're complete in Him. We don't need anything else. He's our completeness.
Hallelujah.
You're not listening to me. And a lot of things that happen is because when we sin, we forget that we have forgiveness and cleansing and God positions us right back where we were. We have this mentality that when we sin or we fall short, we got to start all over again. God, I got to start all over again. I got to go back to square one. I've got to go back to the elementary principles of the teachings. No, that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that we're positioned in Him. When King David sinned, he was forgiven. He was still king. We are positioned in Him. We grow in Him. And some of the things that we have difficulty with is we forget that we're forgiven. And when we're forgiven, we're placed right back where we were. Watch what it says now in 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation. Now, what's that mean? That means God chose us from the foundations of the world. Before the foundations of the world, you were chosen to serve Him. That's sovereign, man. I can't even wrap my mind around that. How that God, before the beginning of the world, you knew that I'd be serving you in this time. It just does things to me. See, but it energizes me when I remember that I'm chosen and picked, hand chosen by God. Turn to somebody and say, He picked you whether you like it or not. Empowered you. And if you're anything like me, sometimes you think, God, I can name 20 people that could do this better than me. I said, I didn't call them, I called you to do what I called you to do. Wow. We need to get swelled heads for a little while. We need to get big egos for a little while. It's okay. It's all right. I'm a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. Wow. Now you think about the priests in the Old Testament. If you go back and study the Levitical priests, they had everything. They had everything taken care of. God chose them. He set them aside. He cleansed them. They got to work in the temple. They got to go into the holy place. They got, you know, once a year the high priest went into the Holy of Holies. We are a royal priesthood. We get to come in and go out and find pasture. We get to have, this morning, in my BVDs, I got to have audience with the King of Kings. Come on, somebody. And he spoke to me and I heard his voice. A royal priesthood. You talk about going into the Holy of Holies. I got to go into the Holy of Holies. How many was in the Holy of Holies today? Come on. Man, that's so awesome to me. That God holds nothing back. It says you can come in and go out anytime you want. You are part of me. I am in you and you are in me. Isn't that what he said in John 15? I and you. In John 17 in his prayer, he said, Father, they may be one as I and you are one. They and me and I and them. Amen. Wow. Lord, you mean you love me so much. You placed me. Sovereignly placed me here. And not only did you place me, you filled me with your Holy Spirit. You gave me all that I need. You covered me with your blood. You gave me all the armor that I need. You gave me the power and the authority that I need. Woo-hoo! What have I got to complain about? Who is able to harm him who follows after that which is good? Scripture says. Who is able to harm him who follows after that which is good? Come on, somebody. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Turn to Psalm 40 quickly. Psalm chapter 40. I'm trying to give you an injection of the Holy Ghost tonight. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit. And out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Wow. This is Old Testament. This is Old Testament we're reading. He says, he also brought me up out of the horrible clip, out of the miry pit, out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. Then he says, he put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. What will they see? They see the new psalm. They see that we're a new creation. They see we're new people. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud nor such as turn to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, 1 Peter says, that you may proclaim. Now here's the authority. Here's the power is chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation. Here's the authority. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Man, that's authority. We declare Him. We declare His position. We declare who He is, and things change. So tonight I want to touch on two words that God gave us. That's power and authority. And we've been talking about that. Luke 9:1 is the anchor verse I want to talk about. Luke 9:1. And He called His 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Now power is dunamis. It's D-U-N-A-M-I-S, dunamis, and it means literally force and figuratively miraculous power, usually by implication a miracle itself. God gave the disciples power or dunamis. It's dynamite. It's where we get our word dynamite from. So when the God gave you power, you're a lit fuse for Jesus. You are a lit fuse for Jesus, just waiting to go somewhere to blow up. And God always lights that fire. He never puts it. A wick He will not put out. God is waiting for us to exude that kind of power. He didn't send the 12 disciples out without giving them power and authority. He gave them power and authority. Strength. mighty, wonderful work. Even violence. Violence. It's good to be violent against the enemy. My wife and I made a pact a long time ago that we would not let the devil have an inch. And when he attacks, we're going to come against him in Jesus' name. He doesn't get it. He doesn't take no for an answer. He keeps coming back, but we keep rebuking him. Why? Because God has given us power and authority. 1 Corinthians 4:20, Paul writing the letter to the Corinthians, he said, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." Not in word, but in power. Look at your neighbor and say, "You got power." This isn't just any kind of power. This isn't just something that we make up. This isn't a religious kind of thing. This isn't where you get goosebumps. Goosebumps aren't power. Goosebumps are goosebumps. "Oh, that was a wonderful service. I got goosebumps." That's not power. Power is when somebody gets out of a wheelchair. Power is when a soul's saved. Power is when a life is changed. Power is when a marriage is saved. Power is when a community starts to change. Power is power. It's not a feeling. It's a position. Power that God gives us. He said to the disciples, "I give you power and authority." Then in Ephesians chapter 3:20, it says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in him." Is that what it says? In who? Turn. Are you in us? Who wants to volunteer to be in us? We're us. That scripture says, watch what it says. It says, "He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Now what that says to me is I don't have to go somewhere to get it. I don't have to go to a meeting to get it. I don't have to go to a prayer closet to get it. It works in us all the time. I'm not just part-time Christian. I don't have power whenever it suits me. I don't have authority whenever it suits me. When I became a Christian, I had power and authority all the time. I'm never taken by surprise. I'm never taken over by the enemy. I'm never taken hostage by my thoughts because I have the power and the authority of God resonant within me. That's what it says. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We just need to sometimes get out of our way. Doubt and unbelief has no place in us. Paul in his prayer, Philippians chapter 3 made me jump there, Danny. Philippians chapter 3, Paul's praying. The mighty Paul is praying. And here's what he says, beginning in verse 8. He says, "Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." Actually, the original says a pile of that stuff. Verse 9 says, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." The power of his resurrection. That power, that dunamis, that dynamite, that power is available to us, and it's far above what we could imagine. For it's the very power of God, without equal. This is not power that's lent to us. It's not some object that God gives us that only he knows how to run. It's not something that he has the authority and we've got to ask God to show up. He gave it to us. My grandfather was a brave man. He was, I don't know if he knew what he was doing, but we went up to visit him in Ohio, and my older brother, which he just got his license. I had his license 2 weeks. He was 16 and a half, maybe. 16, just over 16 years old. And we went out to the house, and Grandpa worked at Ford, and he had a brand new Ford sitting in the driveway. He bought one every 2 years. Traded in and bought one. So it was brand new. He just got it home. And we came, we sat down, had dinner. He took the keys out of his pocket, threw it to Ralph, and he said, "You guys go up and get ice cream up in town." My mom was like, "Are you nuts?" She's got his license. There we are driving a brand new Ford. And my brother got scared a little bit backing out of the driveway, and he was a little tenuous going down the road until we got to the stop sign. But by the time we made the left and headed to Brunswick, he was all about driving that new car. See, he had the power and he had the authority. My grandfather never gave it another thought. There was no incident that happened. But I've always remembered that. And that's what God does to us times a million. The power of the universe rests with us. It's accessible by us. He didn't give it to us piecemeal. Come on. The power of his resurrection? Do you realize how much power it must have taken to get a dead body, dead 3 days, out of the grave? And not only his resurrection, we think about, you know, because other people were raised from the dead, but he got raised from the dead. He's still living. He didn't never die again. That same power that sustained him all this time is in us. If that same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he shall quicken your mortal bodies. Let that sink in a minute. That's power. Now, if we just had that power without the authority, we'd be in trouble. We'd be in trouble because we'd be throwing it all around, see? And that's one of the reasons that God says, I'll not have a sorcerer in my kingdom. I'll not have somebody that's manipulative, because there's darkness out there and there's power available in the second heaven that can be touched and can be changed. There's people that use it, but they've got power without the authority. And it's absolutely destructive. There's a resident power that's available, but without authority, it's useless. And dangerous. We've seen people exude power that take people away. We saw power that existed in people that cults that have ended up in bad ways. I'm thinking of the guy that drank the Kool-Aid, that guy. Jim Jones. Power without authority. Great power of whatever. People were healed in his temple there in Los Angeles. People were, all kinds of miracles, signs, wonders, and miracles took place. The place grew. But the seed of evil was within that whole resident within that. He had power without the authority. So authority is exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A, and it's privilege, force, capacity, competency, freedom, mastery, superhuman token of control. But it's far above that. It's almost, it belies any kind of a definition, because the authority is just as if Jesus were standing here. You say, well, that's a little bit sacrilegious now. Jesus is not standing. Yes, he is. Look to your left and to your right. Jesus is right there. How does he do that? I don't know. I don't want to ask how it works. I just want to move in it. Because when I speak, it's as if Jesus is speaking. When I take authority over the devil, it's Jesus is speaking. When I pray for someone to be healed, it's if Jesus is praying. Come on, somebody. We need to learn to trust that, because all of us have been in a situation where you hear this voice inside of you, do this, and you go, I don't know. I don't know if I have the authority to do that. That little voice is the Holy Ghost, and he's telling you everything that Jesus told him to tell you. Go ahead and do it. You have the authority. That's the difference between a miracle and a wish. You just step out and do it. You need faith and trust. Good. You want to preach this? That's good. I like that. See, it's delegated influence, jurisdiction. We have jurisdiction over this world. This world is under my feet. The devil's under my feet. I have jurisdiction. I have liberty. I have power. I have right. I have strength. These things are mine by virtue of God giving them to me. I didn't take them. I didn't usurp them. He gave me the authority. I didn't say, God, I'm going to steal your authority. I'm going to do something I'm not supposed to do. He gave me the authority, the permission. He threw the keys to me and said, take it for a drive, son. What do you think about the genius of that? I'm awestruck. First time I saw the power resonant like that, I think it was probably the first time. Years ago, we were in Bible school, and we had the glory cloud come in the meeting. Boy, one of these days, I'd love to see that right here. Glory cloud came in the meeting. How many have ever been in a meeting where the glory cloud was?
I was here.
Oh, yeah, here? Oh. Wow. So it did happen here. Where was I?
God,
should have told me. Wow. 2,500 of us were laying on the floor. There wasn't a person standing. 2,500 people. Not one person standing up. Not one. Not even one. And I couldn't lift my head off the carpet. And finally, somebody made an announcement to go get the kids. So we pulled ourselves up off the carpet and walked across the street. And we walked across the street and I saw the power of God. It was in a 13-year-old girl. Walked into a meeting, children's meeting they were having. 13-year-old girls praying for people and every other kid's laid out on the floor. From 2 years old up to 16 years old, laying on the ground.
Hallelujah.
2, 3-year-old kids laying on the ground, out under the power of God. I mean, if you'd have been an EMT, you went in there, you'd say, man, get these. And had been laying there for 20, 30 minutes, some of them. Under the power of God. And this girl, 13-year-old girl, just praying for people. She realized that she had power and authority. And began to just lay hands. First time she ever did it. It wasn't the last time, I don't imagine, but it was the first time. See, realizing that we have jurisdiction and liberty and power, realizing that is one thing. Walking in it is exhilarating. It'll change your life if you've not done it up till now. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And the genius of this is most of the people that God sent out, Jesus sent out, the 12 that He sent out were all 20 years or less of age. How many would like to trust a bunch of teenagers to do anything? He sent a bunch of teenagers out, and the 70 were just young men that He sent out. So He sent the 70 out, and He said, freely you've received, freely give. Don't take this, don't take that, go back. And then here in verse 17 of Luke 10, it says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in Your name. Now you'll notice that it says demons are subject to us in what? Come on, somebody, grab this. Even the demons are subject to us in Your name. And He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority. There it is. Authority, exousia, to trample on serpents and scorpions. He's talking about demons. And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's a word for you today. That's a word for you today. That's a word for you today. You sitting in the pew looking at me. You have the power of God that is over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. It's delegated influence. You have jurisdiction. Anybody ever been to traffic court? You know those judges that sit behind in traffic court, man, they dole out the fines, nothing less than $160-170 now, I guess. I haven't had a ticket for a long time. But when I go in a courtroom, I get intimidated by courtrooms. It's got the big raised platform, and the judge comes out in his robe, and all rise. I could get kind of intimidated with that. And in that courtroom, that's the judge's courtroom, he is the authority. If he says to be quiet, you best be quiet. And if you speak again, he's going to have you for contempt. If you speak again, you're going to jail. Listen to me. You have that authority wherever you go. Wherever you go, you have the authority. You have a robe. It's called the robe of righteousness. Underneath the robe of righteousness is the full armor of God. No enemy will be able to stand against you. You talk about, well, it's one thing to have the power, but now to have the authority, when I speak, the enemy has to shut up. When I speak, the enemy has to leave. It's not open to discussion. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to doubt it. I don't want to have unbelief. I want to speak in faith, saying, devil, you've got to get your weapons and flee. You've got to go. And if you speak again, I'll hold you into contempt. If you speak again, I'm going to throw you in jail. We live so far under the ability that God has given us. And it's not in me. It's not done anything to do with me. The Word of God is powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Dividing asunder between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the Word of God. When I speak the Word of God, the enemy has to flee. And the Word of God, sometimes, if we can't remember anything, the Word of God is what? Who was the Word of God?
Jesus.
So if we say Jesus, that encompasses the whole Word. That's why Jesus is such a powerful name. It's the ultimate 1-2 punch. You know, it's the ultimate bam, bam. Power and authority. Not only am I going to clip you, I'm going to clip you with power, but I've got the authority to knock you out. We've allowed the enemy far too much room. We've allowed him far too much room in our lives. We've allowed him far too much room in our country. We've allowed him far too much room in our families. He has no authority. And we think because he's so obtrusive, he's so pushy, that he has authority. He doesn't have authority and he doesn't have power. We have both. Let me say it again. The enemy doesn't have any power or authority. But you know what he has? Permission. And that's all he's looking for. Fear gives him permission. Let me talk to you now. Fear gives him permission. Doubt gives him permission. Unbelief gives him permission. When we have fear and we have doubt and we have unbelief, the enemy says, that's my cue call.
I am no longer a slave of fear.
That's right.
I am a child of God.
Child of God. No fear. No fear here. No fear, no doubt, no unbelief. It's got no room in a Christian's life. He doesn't have any power and authority. I have all the power and the authority. Can't be sure of anybody else. Why do I have all the power and the authority? Because Jesus lives in me. It doesn't have anything to do with me. Without Jesus, I'm nothing. I'm zero with the rim kicked off. But with Jesus, I have the resonant power of God. I don't know how he does it. He exudes his authority here in Africa, in New Zealand, in Australia, all at the same time. He does it by the power of his Spirit. He says, whatsoever you ask, that you is a plural you, not just one at a time, all of us. It's the ultimate 1-2 punch from the enemy. It's not a hollow threat shot over the bow of the enemy's ship. It's not just, okay, if you don't stop, I'm going to, in Jesus' name. It's not an idle threat, cannot be backed up. It can be backed up because Jesus is resonance. It's not an accidental victory because everything was just right. We just came out of church and the enemy attacked and we just got prayed for and I still got the anointing oil on my forehead. How dare you come against me? No, it's all the time, all the time, all the time, 24/7. You have the power and the authority. And God's mercy and grace covers our little sins that we do. And when we get in trouble, we say, well, the reason why I couldn't overcome it is because I'm in sin. Nonsense. Man, when you get attacked, take the authority. God will deal with the sin. Don't get me wrong. He doesn't want sin. But he has 24/7. If he gave you power and authority, he gave it to you 24/7. Not just whenever you're right, when everything is just right, when all the planets are aligned and everything's just peachy keen. There's something wrong with leaving a meeting and feeling stronger than when you did when you came in. I understand it. I get it in some ways, yes. But it doesn't mean that you were any less powerful before you came. The power doesn't reside in you. It resides in Christ that resides in you. And you reside in Christ. Power plus authority. Victorious living. We live in victory all the time. It's just, are we going to access it? God never meant for us to be defeated in any way, shape, manner, or form. It's not an accidental victory. It's not a hollow threat. Power without authority is dangerous. Authority without power is suicidal. God knew that when He directed His Holy Spirit to live in us. He sent. Jesus said, if I don't go to the Father, I can't send you the Holy Ghost. One who's just like me. He lives in us. God knew that if we just used His name without having something in us to back it up, it would never work. We could have never built anything. And He knew if He gave us the power and we didn't have the authority, or the authority without the power, we'd mess up. We'd get a hold of it. It's already been misused. Led masses to delusion. But God has given us both. He's given us both. He's given us both. Luke 9:1. He gave them power and authority. And then He said in Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. I want to do something. I want to be obedient to the Lord. I want to lay my hands on you tonight. I want to do some kind of an impartation tonight. God's given me some revelation. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll be talking about some other things in victorious living. But tonight, I want you to have a new revelation of what exists in you. And what's going to happen, it might get rid of the things that you've been battling for so long. What's going to happen is you'll realize the power and the authority that you move in, and it will rise up within you, and you have a victory. Amen. And that's what I'm after, victorious living. See, tomorrow's got to be better than today. Amen. As the day draws near, it gets better all the time. It gets better all the time. And please, whatever you do, don't look around you and gauge your spirituality from what's going on around us. Our righteous souls are vexed. If you're anything like me, you're like Lot. I mean, people can't get any more ugly and perverted and lustful. And our society is just all, yeah. It's like watching our leaders play in a sandbox. And if we allow ourselves to get, it kind of saturates us. No, we have the authority and we have the power. If we know that, they'll know that, because we're the salt and the light. And the darker it gets, what's the first thing you do in the dark? You look for a light. People are going to be looking at us, and we've got to have an answer. So as we worship you and put a worship tape on us, we do that. I just want to get my hands on you. It's not magic. It's just agreeing with you to enlighten that, to initiate that power and authority. Maybe start it back up again. Maybe you've never had it. Maybe you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, next week we're going to be ministering baptism a lot, but I want to talk to you about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, you're missing out. Because tongues is a language, it's a prayer language to God. He who prays in an unknown tongue prays to God. It's building your inner man up. It's building your inner strength up. And if you've lost that, I want to pray with you tonight. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's as easy as this right here. Just ask. How much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So just ask. So I want to pray for you tonight. Danny, you had?
There's been some awesome things happening around. And so some of us, we sit here and don't even know it. God's got a plan and He's been doing things. And, you know, from your testimony, the way He called you here to this city, this church made a decision not to ask Nick the Greek to come this year. And I was a little upset about that. And boy, God kicked my hind in on that. I want to tell you what happened because of that decision. God was working over the city. And we didn't even know it. Just you said trust and obey. If we trust and obey, He'll do awesome things. So because of that, I called a friend over at Solid Rock, and Nick got to speak at Solid Rock on the Sunday. He was supposed to be here. They're in cahoots with the Salvation Army in Fort Wayne. And they were going to bring 50 people down that come out of the drugs and alcohol and rehab type people. And instead, they brought 3 busloads down. And when Nick is an evangelist, and that's one of the reasons we didn't ask him back here, because last year we were supposed to bring the lost in. I think we had one person that came in that wasn't part of the regular family. So he needed to speak to them kind of people. Let me tell you what happened. Todd over there at Solid Rock got an email from the guy at Salvation Army in Fort Wayne. He says, what happened down there last Sunday? He says, we've got 50. There was 50 that came forward for Jesus. He said, we've got people that are demanding counseling, and they're all on fire. He said, what went on down there? So because of the decision we made here, there's 50 new souls in the kingdom of God that is on fire in Fort Wayne. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to trust and obey. Been praying for a guy by the name of Steve Powell over at Rouen. He had cancer, and he is one of my polling buddies from over Rouen. And another one of my polling buddies stopped in to see me the other day. He said, you ought to see what I saw over at the poll at Rouen this year. He said, you know, Steve, we've been praying for him and that cancer and to get Jesus, because he's been witnessing to him. My other, Gary, has been witness to this guy. And we've been praying for the cancer. And he was praying for me, too. And he said he saw the panels you had on your tractor last year. He says, boy, that is bold. That takes a lot of nerve to do something like that. So this year at the poll over at Rouen, he's preaching to people, this Steve Powell. God took him to hell during all of this cancer deal, and he got to see hell. And he's still back with us. And Gary said he saw him over there in a group of people. He said he walked over there and just to listen in. And he was saying these, and he's put a couple Oldsmobile V8 diesels in a couple tractors, and they look like factory job. I mean, it's really neat. He said, these motors and these tractors are not what's important. He said, Jesus Christ is important, and he's now inside me, and he healed me, and that's what's important. And he was talking about when he was in hell, there was a gulf. And he was talking about all that stuff, and he don't even know Scripture. And Gary said he was given these things, and he didn't even know Scripture. And he was given what Scripture says, preaching to these guys there at the pole. So God is moving, I'm telling you. And same way with me. My prayer is, let me see what you're doing, what you want to do through me. And let me learn it quick so I can get up and get going. And so don't give up. Just trust and obey. He gives you a word to tell somebody, whatever. Don't think it over. Just obey on it. Because God works all on the whole thing. And that's like this thing with Nick. The decision we made here affected the whole town of Fort Wayne. Hallelujah.
Amen. Good stuff. Praise the Lord. Okay, come on up whenever the Lord moves you. We're not going to close tonight if you need to go. We understand. If you'd like to stay and worship with us, and let's let God move like He wants to tonight.